Father God, I pray that you would speak into our hearts and minds your message for us this morning. I pray that we would hear the hope in the middle of the desolation that we've heard of in previous weeks. But most of all, I pray that you'd give us hearts that are compliant to your word, to your call for kingship over our lives. Help us to be willing subjects and not hard-hearted. Help us to be charmed at the nature of your kingship and of your kingdom. So I pray that you'd give us a fresh, wonderful sense of who you are and what your kingdom is like, so that we would do that well. I pray it for your glory. Amen. Well, they're having a lot of fun out there at the moment, so appreciate the kids having fun. It's a wonderful thing. We celebrate the kids having fun out there, and I think the noise is just a great thing to say that they're full of joy on this Christmas time. Quick little pop culture quiz for you. It's probably going to show my age, some of these songs, but see if you can spot the who the singer is. And then what I also want you to do is to work out, if you can work out what the theme is that I'm picking by choosing these songs. Okay, got it? So who's the singer and what's the big idea through the choice of these songs? Here's the first one. No, it's what I just had to pull myself back from, which is why I laughed. I am not singing. No one wants that. Heal the world. Make it a better place for me and for you and the entire human race. There are people dying. If you care enough for the living, make a better place for you and for me. Paul Radburn, you had your hand up first. Oh, very good, very good. All right. All right. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. Who knows who that is? Burt Bacharach. Very good, very good. All right. This is a slight change of pace. What's wrong with the world, mama? People living like they ain't got no mama. I think the whole world addicted to the drama, only attracted to the things that'll bring you trauma. Father, help us. Send some guidance from above. Because people got me questioning. Where is the love? Black Eyed Peas. Jake's got it. He must listen to his radio at work. All right, here's another one. Keep spending most our lives living in a gangster's paradise. Tell me, why are we so blind to see that the ones we hurt are you and me? Oh, Paul Radburn, you're on a roll. What do you do at work all day? Coolio, that's right. So he's the singer, and the original writer was Stevie Wonder. Well, I wonder if you picked anything in there. It's a little bit of a hard question to sort of see what it is that's coming through, but I wonder if anyone got any sort of ideas of what it is that I'm trying to draw on from those songs. Anyone feel like venturing? You don't have to, but...
solutions to the world's problems.
Yeah, well... The singers there, that's exactly right, are looking out and thinking, well, the world needs something. And I think what I wanted us to see was that you don't have to be a rocket scientist to see that there are things that are broken in the world. And if you listen to the songs on your radio, if you join Paul at work and listen with him. No, I'm sorry, Paul, I didn't mean to pick on you like that. If you listen to the radio, you will hear it coming through that there are things that are wrong. And ordinary people can pick that up and put it in song and say that. Things are just not right. And what we've been doing in Isaiah, we've been tracking through early passages in Isaiah from chapter 6 up to this week into chapter 11. And we're seeing the times of 8th century BC Palestine, and things are not right. things are really crook. And what we've seen is that God's called time on stuff that is really crook. He's called time on Judah, on Israel, on Assyria. We heard that last week. And we heard some terrible words, is that for all this, his anger is still there. Terrible, terrible statement with such gravity. Things are really crook. In amongst all of this terrible sort of stuff, there are these glimmers of hope for God's people. We've got the promise of Emmanuel, God with us. It's given as a sign to a really stubborn, unbelieving king. An extraordinary moment. The king's showing complete disregard for God, not trusting in him. He's given a sign. Emmanuel, God with us. Where did that come from? In the middle of all of this judgment. We've got promise of people living in darkness who will see a great light. Great promises for a people that are going to see the Assyrian conquest first. They're going to be the ones also to see the great light first. What isn't clear is, well, what does the future hold for God's people? Well, there's these glimmers of hope, sure, but what's ahead? What's ahead? What have God's people got to look forward to? And we've got in our passage today some of the future blueprints for a world made right that God's got on the cards. And where there's been a really crook kingship in the nation, there's great kingship that's ahead for God's people. And where the people have been in trouble, there is a people that God's got that are going to know good things in the future. So our passage, it's divided into two parts, two poems, in fact, with a couple of interconnecting verses in between them. The first poem, two poems really, first poem runs from verse 1 to verse 9. It speaks about the king of God's kingdom. And then in verses 12 to 16, we've got things about God's people. So God's king and God's people, what's coming ahead for them. In between is this bridge in verses 10 and 11 that really jumps between God's king to God's people in a kind of quite poetic kind of way. So the first poem, verses 1 to 9, speaks of the king, God's magnificent king. Speaks from of a king arising from unexpected and seemingly dried up sources. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. In other words, the stump of Jesse is a stump. There's been a desolation in the land, and the kingship, kingly line just looks hacked down. And a stump, commentator wrote this really well, a stump images desolation, but a shoot hints at life. So there's this desolation, but there's this hint of new life that's coming through. Now, there are a number of things coming out of that. In the future, the royal line will look like it's been wiped off the earth. Israel's about to be destroyed by the Assyrian Empire, and in another 150 years, Judah will experience a similar fate at the hand of the Babylonian Empire. How can the royal line continue and bring out a king with so much desolation? And yet, it will. God's promises promise something for kingship. The other thing to note is that this line, this royal line, is in the Davidic line, but it comes from the stump of Jesse. It's really interesting that he doesn't say comes from David. You expect him to say it's coming from David because of the promises of 2 Samuel 7 that there will be a king in the line of David forever. But what he's saying is that there is a king in the line of David. It comes from Jesse. But we're talking about something new. It's like we're going back and we're getting it right. The way Davidic kingship is meant to be is going to be better than David. Let's go back to the stump of to the root of Jesse. It's a stump kingdom. It's a stump kingdom, this one. It arises from the desolation of God's judgment. And while its existence seems small, it has the power of new life through it. This king from verse 2 onward, will be empowered by the Holy Spirit for his task. He will do his task in ways unlike any of the kings leading up to this point. We've seen kings that are good, but they always stumble at some point. But this king, he does things in extraordinary ways. His character will display unprecedented justice and righteousness. So there are three pairs of things that he's equipped with from the Spirit. He will have wisdom and understanding. He will have counsel and might, and knowledge and fear of the Lord. Three pairs that are thrown at you to build this profile of who this wonderful king is that arises from the stump of Jesse. Now, just a couple of chapters ago, we heard that this king would be wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And in many ways, this is being unpacked here in chapter 11, who this is and developed. As a result of his empowering, he will judge the world in ways unlike anything that's ever come before. And when we say judge, in our minds we go, oh, he's being judgmental. No, that's not the point. The point is to judge in ways that bring forward God's justice in the land, to make decisions that empower and help the poor and the needy. This is a positive way of talking about judges. It's like the judges in the book of Judges were meant to govern well. Think about government is what it's talking about. And his discernment won't be just about what his eyes see and his ears hear. He will see situations and people for who they really are. And he will know and he will judge well. His discernment and his goodness and his righteousness and justice, it's what the world needs. It's unlike anything that's come before. However, his government will also include judgment in the way that we think of judgment as well. He will deal with evil and injustice in the world. By his word, he will deal with that. He has the power to deal with evil in the world and to bring about justice. And verses 6 to 9 speak about a tremendous transformation of all that we see and know. Here is this prophetic and figurative picture of what a world can look like where God has brought his peace to bear in dramatic ways. And this is very poetic, the sort of language that's used here. The lamb and the wolf are together. And the idea is that, and the lion and the calf are together. A young infant will put its hand in a viper's nest. You know, all of these, it's meant to make you do what Narelle just did, which is just shudder. But it's the picture of the vulnerable who are not going to be in trouble. It's a picture of safety. What you expect to be a disaster and terrible violence is actually safety in this kingdom, because these pictures are to show us the radical transformation of God's kingdom, which is unlike anything this world has ever known. You're meant to see that this is it. This is the way the world's meant to be. This is what we're supposed to be seeing. What will be its foundation that makes it so wonderful, so utterly different to what we now know? Read with me verse 9. I camped on this verse for a little bit this week. Just in the wonder of it. Not really in unpacking it, just in the wonder. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Because the way that the world will be transformed and made right will be through the knowledge of the Lord being so comprehensively throughout all of creation, over every part. Folks, some of you have been to the beach already. I'm counting on each of you getting to the beach this summer, okay? There's instructions from your minister. Go to the beach. Sue, don't shake your head. Go to the beach. And as you're looking out at the horizon and seeing the way that the ocean stretches off into the distance, and you see that there is no part of land in what you see there, it is just water, bring this to mind in that moment. As the waters cover the sea, the knowledge of the Lord will be over the earth. this is what God's good kingdom government will be like. And that will make all of the difference. This is meant to whet your appetite for what the world could be like if God is king. Take it as an invitation to come on board with this kingdom, its program, and most of all, its king. Does the kingdom rule of the Lord cover your life? Because his kingdom rule is what you want. It's what you need, and it's beautiful. And if you're sitting camped in some sort of in-between territory in all of this, you've got to do something about that. You need to get over the line on this one, because knowing the Lord in truth is everything. Having his kingly rule over your life matters. Back in our passage, we're coming to the bridge. So we've talked about God's king. We've talked a little bit about his kingdom with how it looks like, but it focuses really on the king, nature of the king. And then we get in these two verses, in verses 10 and 11, talk about in that day. As soon as you hear that phrase, that's a very overloaded term that's used in the prophets to talk about the great day of the Lord, the day of judgment. In that day, as soon as you hear that, you're meant to hear boom, boom, boom. You know, it's full of this, full of the weight of that time. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the people. The nations will rally to him, and his place of rest will be glorious. Where do God's people rally? What's the rallying point that they come to? And it's not a place, it's the king. They rally to their king. You see, this bridge goes between a section about God's king to a section about God's people, and it's joined by the people rallying to the king. So it joins as a very neat bridge, I think, God's king and God's people in a rather wonderful way. And the rest that they will know is glorious. Now, I'm not a very good Hebrew scholar, so I sat with this for about 2 hours, just this sentence, trying to work it out. And I think that the way this is said is just his rest is glory. It's just overwhelmingly full of how wonderful it is. But that word glory in Hebrew is, it contains this idea of weightiness. It is so magnificent and heavy in its magnificence. This is what God's people have to look forward to. And what would have struck 8th century Palestine, the people of Judah in particular, about the extent of this kingdom was that this wasn't just a declaration of God's people in Judah and in Israel. This mentions the nations as well. There's already something about the international sphere of influence for God's kingdom that's right here in Isaiah and includes the nations among his people. In verse 11, that day will also mark the day when all of God's people who are in far-flung off places will be gathered and brought safely into the place that God gathers them to, under his protection and within his kingdom well-being. And the rest of this passage is a picture of this great gathering of God's people. You know, I can't stress enough how much the gathering of God's people is an important part of God's word. It's where we're headed to being a nation gathered together around God's throne. The nations and places that God's people are being brought from, they're places at all four points of the compass, but they're also the places where the historical enemies of God's people in the past were. So he's bringing them from outside of the enemy's territories. And the second bringing back, well, it's like the second exodus that's happening here. We're seeing God's people brought in an exodus all over again, safely from foreign nations where they don't belong, and it involves highways, not twisted, torturous paths. And the Euphrates River will be split up. There won't be the Red Sea. It won't be a big sea that's between them. They'll be able to walk across in sandals. God will bring his people in. God will bring his people in. And there is this unparalleled place of peace and security and faithful, righteous governance, because this is the place of God's good and great kingdom. Let me now do a New Testament switch. Because, you know, Jesus used to talk about how the gospel of the kingdom would be preached in all the world as a testimony to all nations. So what we have here and what Jesus was speaking about in his earthly ministry is a gospel message about this kingdom. And this is a message about the kingdom in Isaiah. It's talking about God as his kingliness and his people gathered into his kingdom. The gospel kingdom of heaven, its center, its rallying point, is the king. And the king is the Lord Jesus. If you want to look for a place to run to in this passage, the focal point is the Lord Jesus. That is the rallying point that God's people go to. It's the focus. And when Jesus preached his message of the gospel of the kingdom, it wasn't a message that stood in a vacuum. It had all of this, all of these words from Isaiah to draw on. People knew what the kingdom was like because they'd heard these words. Go to Isaiah 65, you'll hear more words about God's perfect kingdom. Jesus' words were meant to resonate. They were meant to be tingles down your spine thinking, I know something about the nature of that kingdom. It's there in Isaiah. It's wonderful. And it's full of the good, just, and righteous rule of God's King, King Jesus. Here's what Jesus said. I love that Matthew says that he was continually preaching these words. It means that we don't have to guess what Jesus' message was. He kept on preaching these words. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. In other words, Jesus was putting before them his kingly authority, the nature of the kingdom, and that they needed to respond to it. And the way to respond is to repent, to turn away from current ways of living. You can't go on with your life the way it is and use Jesus as a talisman. That is not repenting. That is trying to add Jesus to the panoply of other things that you hold in your life without making Jesus the king. If you are going to take these words seriously, Jesus is the king. People sometimes try to add Jesus round the edges. They think he's a good motivational speaker, a good man. They think he's a means of self-help to help me in my agendas. But Jesus is the king. You don't want your kingdom because your kingdom isn't like this kingdom. You want his good governance in your life so that you know the nature of his kingdom over your life, changing you. The message is really simple here. Follow the Savior, follow the King, Jesus the King. Glorify the Lord of all and seek his kingdom over your life in first place. And the blessings of this king and his kingdom, they're extensive. They're so good, so good. You see, this kingdom holds the answer to all this world's problems. And it lies in the wings. It lies waiting there. Waiting for the moment when his kingly rule will extend over your life and one day over all of creation. You see, God's purposes are at work to bring about his ends in tremendous ways. That will be magnificent. Remember, go to the beach. What are you remembering? knowledge of the Lord be everywhere as the waters cover the sea. Romans 8 says that all creation awaits with eager longing the revealing of the sons of God. Wouldn't it be great if it was groaning to know about you? To know that you were revealed as one of God's children. And our hope here is that we would see more and more people responding to the kingly authority of Jesus over their lives. It's what this message is all about. God will heal this world. He will make it right for you and for me and for everyone that is right with God through his kingly rule in their lives. Great hope ahead for God's people. And my prayer is that this is encouragement for you, maybe a spur to you to put him as king in your life in first place. Let me pray for you right now. Heavenly Father, I thank you for wonderful, wonderful pictures of your kingdom and of your king that arise in the middle of these weighty passages that we've already read about judgment in 8th century BC Palestine. Thank you that there is this wonderful picture of what your kingly rule looks like in effect. And Father, I pray that we would never play games with your kingly authority in our lives, but we would respond in spirit and in truth and declare you in all parts of our lives, Lord and King. No games. No holding other agendas. No treating you as anything other than the Lord of all. Isaiah saw it clearly in that vision in the throne room in Isaiah 6 when he fell on his face and said, "Woe to me, I am undone, I'm destroyed, for I'm a sinful man that lives among a sinful people." Father, for any that don't know you, that might be here today, I pray that you'd be speaking into their hearts and minds, calling them into your kingdom, and I pray that they would bend the knee and declare you as King and Lord over their lives. And I pray that you would encourage us all with this wonderful vision of what your kingdom looks like in effect and how we long for that to be in effect over all the earth as you have promised. Bring on that day, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.